Catholic identity, and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The First Apology of St. Justin Martyr. Continuing his defense of Christians against the false charges leveled against them by their pagan neighbors, written around A.D. 152. We fear to expose children, lest some of them be not picked up but die, and we become murderers. But when we marry, it is only that we may bring up children, and when we decline marriage, we live continently. That you may understand that promiscuous intercourse is not one of our mysteries, one of our number, a short time ago, presented to Felix the governor in Alexandria a petition, craving that permission might be given to a surgeon to make him a eunuch. For the surgeons there said that they were forbidden to do this without the permission of the governor. When Felix absolutely refused to sign such a permission, the youth remained single, and was satisfied with his own approving conscience and the approval of those who thought as he did. But lest anyone should meet us with the question, what should prevent that he whom we call Christ, being a man born of men, performed what we call his mighty works by magical art, and by this appeared to be the Son of God, we will now offer proof, not trusting mere assertions, but being of necessity persuaded by those who prophesied of him before these things came to pass. For with our own eyes we behold things that have happened, and are happening, just as they were predicted. And this will, we think, appear even to you the strongest and truest evidence. There were then among the Jews certain men who were prophets of God, through whom the prophetic spirit published beforehand things that were to come to pass ere they ever happened. Their prophecies, as they were spoken and when they were uttered, the kings who happened to be reigning among the Jews at the several times carefully preserved in their possession. When they had been arranged in books by the prophets themselves in their own Hebrew language. When Ptolemy, king of Egypt, formed a library and endeavored to collect the writings of all men, he heard also of these prophets, and sent to Herod, who was at that time king of the Jews, requesting that the books of the prophets be sent to him. Herod the king did indeed send them, written as they were in the aforesaid Hebrew language. And when their contents were found to be unintelligible to the Egyptians, he again sent and requested that men be commissioned to translate them into the Greek language. When this was done, the books remained with the Egyptians, where they are until now. In these books, then, of the prophets, we find Jesus our Christ foretold as coming born of a virgin, growing up to man's estate, and healing every disease and sickness, raising the dead, and being hated, and unrecognized, crucified, and dying, and rising again, and ascending into heaven, and being called the Son of God. We find it also predicted that certain persons should be sent by him into every nation to publish these things, and that rather among the Gentiles than among the Jews, men should believe on him. Moses, then, who was the first of the prophets, spoke in these very words, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until he come for whom it is reserved. And he shall be the desire of the nations, binding his foal to the vine, washing his robe in the blood of the grape." It is yours to make accurate inquiry, and ascertain up to whose time the Jews had a lawgiver and king of their own. Up to the time of Jesus Christ, who taught us and interpreted the prophecies which were not yet understood, they had a lawgiver, as was foretold by the holy and divine spirit of prophecy through Moses, that a ruler would not fail the Jews until he should come for whom the kingdom was reserved. For Judah was the forefather of the Jews, from whom also they have their name of Jews. And after Christ appeared, you began to rule the Jews, and gained possession of all their territory. The prophecy, "He shall be the expectation of the nations," signified that there would be some of all nations who should look for him to come again. This indeed you can see for yourselves, and be convinced of by fact. For of all races of men, there are some who look for him who was crucified in Judea, and after whose crucifixion the land was straightway rendered to you as spoil of war. And the prophecy, binding his foal to the vine, and washing his robe in the blood of the grape, was a significant symbol of the things that were to happen to Christ, and of what he was to do. For the foal of an ass stood bound to a vine at the entrance of a village, and he ordered his acquaintances to bring it to him then. And when it was brought, he mounted and sat upon it, and entered Jerusalem, where was the vast temple of the Jews, which was afterwards destroyed by you. And after this he was crucified, that the rest of the prophecy might be fulfilled. For this washing his robe in the blood of the grape was predictive of the passion he was to endure, cleansing by his blood those who believe on him. For what is called by the divine spirit through the prophet his robe are those men who believe in him, in whom abideth the seed of God, the word. What is spoken of as the blood of the grape signifies that he who should appear would have blood, though not of the seed of man, but of the power of God. The first power after God, the Father and Lord of all, is the Word, who is also the Son. And of him we will, in what follows, relate how he took flesh and became man. For as man did not make the blood of the vine, but God, so it was hereby intimated that the blood should not be of human seed, but of divine power, as we have said above. Isaiah, another prophet, foretelling the same things in other words, spoke thus: A star shall rise out of Jacob, and a flower shall spring from the root of Jesse, and his arm shall the nations trust. A star of light has arisen, and a flower has sprung from the root of Jesse, this Christ. For by the power of God he was conceived by a virgin of the seed of Jacob, who was the father of Judah, who, as we have shown, was the father of the Jews. And Jesse was his forefather, according to the oracle, and he was the son of Jacob and Judah, according to lineal descent. Hear again how Isaiah, in express words, foretold that he should be born of a virgin. For he spoke thus: Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and bring forth a son, and they shall say for his name, God with us. For things which were incredible and seemed impossible with men, these God predicted by the spirit of prophecy as about to come to pass, in order that, when they came to pass, there might be no unbelief, but faith because of their prediction. But lest some, not understanding the prophecy now cited, should charge us with the very things we have been laying to the charge of the poets who say that Jupiter went into women through lust, let us try to explain the words. This then, behold, a virgin shall conceive, signifies that a virgin should conceive without intercourse, for if she had had intercourse with anyone whatever, she was no longer a virgin. But the power of God having come upon the virgin overshadowed her, and caused her, while yet a virgin, to conceive. And the angel of God who was sent to the same virgin at that time brought her good news, saying, Behold, thou shalt conceive of the Holy Ghost, and shalt bear a son, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is wrong, therefore, to understand the Spirit and the power of God as anything else than the Word, who is also the firstborn of God, as the aforesaid prophet Moses declared. And it was this which, when it came upon the virgin and overshadowed her, caused her to conceive, not by intercourse, but by power. The name Jesus in the Hebrew language means Savior. Wherefore, too, the angel said to the virgin, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. hear what part of the earth he was to be born in, as another prophet, Micah, foretold. He spoke thus, "And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of these shall come forth a governor who shall feed my people." Now there is a village in the land of the Jews, 35 stadia from Jerusalem, in which Jesus Christ was born, as you can ascertain also from the registers of the taxing maid under Cyrenius, your first procurator in Judea. How Christ, after he was born, was to escape the notice of other men until he grew to man's estate, which also came to pass, hear what was foretold regarding this. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a young man is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, which is significant of the power of the cross. For to it, when he was crucified, he applied his shoulders. Again, the same prophet Isaiah, being inspired by the prophetic spirit, said, "I have spread out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people, to those who walk in a way that is not good. They now ask of me judgment, and dare to draw near to God." Again, in other words, through another prophet, he says, "They pierced my hands and my feet, and for my vesture they cast lots." Indeed, David, the king and prophet, who uttered these things, suffered none of them, but Jesus Christ stretched forth his hands. As the prophet spoke, they tormented him, and set him on the judgment seat, and said, "Judge us." And the expression, "They pierced my hands and my feet," was used in reference to the nails of the cross which they were fixed in his hands and feet. After he was crucified, they cast lots upon his vesture, and they that crucified him parted it among them. And that these things did happen, you can ascertain from the Acts of Pontius Pilate. This has been taken from the First Apology of St. Justin Martyr, written around A.D. 152. This version is taken from the Early Church Fathers and Other Works, originally published by William B. Erdsman Publishing Company in Edinburgh, Scotland, beginning in 1867, and provided on the Internet courtesy of the Eternal Word Television Network at www.ewtn.com. This work is in the public domain.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature. Right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.
Sacred Heart Major Seminary's Professor Mira Healy goes digging for gold on putting on the mind of Christ this week.
Because if you haven't experienced that, God wants to give it to you. You can go to the Mother of Jesus and say, "I don't have the wine. Do something." And go to Jesus and say, "I want that wine that you give." When we read those Advent scriptures, we're supposed to hear those and say, "Yes, I know what that's talking about. I have experienced that. God wants that for you." All you have to do is ask, and keep asking, and keep asking, and He will answer that prayer.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Our search in the Ave Maria archives this week found a treasure talk by Dr.